greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live right now on Worldwide WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South this evening at 10 p.m., a little past. And we invite you to call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on air tonight, part two of the mythical pagan gods in reality. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that there is no God but Yahweh, the mighty one, the El of the Hebrew. But people have formed gods to express an image and worship the creature of that image more than the creator. The Bible is chock full of evidence that Yahweh is the name of the creator. He was before the world was, and everything in the earth, the heavens, or the universe has been created by him. His name alone stands justified. It's amazing that it's 6,823 times alone, wherever you see the capital letter L-O-R-D in the English. Now, a lot of people think that Lord is a name that is authentic. Just because it's evolved down to us in the English as a capital L-O-R-D. But it's the pen of the lying scribes. Bad translation. The lying translators, more, so to speak. So we're going to talk about pagan gods part two. Now you really don't want to miss part three. Tonight we're going to lead you into part two by declaring the pagan gods from the continuation of part one where we did the series, and this will be a three-part series. But next Friday night, this coming Friday night, where we'll be back on at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, you need to tune in. We'll conclude, if we can, and we're going to give you the mystery of the great name of blasphemy. It is a name that is so localized to your understanding, in your forehead, in your hand, as you support it, and as you preach it, and minister to it, and worship in it, and we're going to give you some striking and some startling evidence that this name that people have grown to love, so common that you grew up with it, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, it itself, although it's idolized around the world by millions and billions of people, literally, it is a pagan name. It has no substance, it has no beginning, and it has no end. The only name it's got, well, let's take Dagon. In the Bible, in three books, Dagon is mentioned, and the book of Judges, first time, 16:23, and the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 5, verse 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, and then verse 7. So in 1 Samuel, it's in the 5th chapter, you can read it several times mentioned there. The god Dagon. Now, at this time, he was the Philistines' god. Although he's pagan, and today you'd realize he's pagan, but let's say that pagan god somehow put on a mask or masqueraded around, and through our understanding, we've changed the gods to another false name, and we've adopted that name above, let's say, Dagon. Dagon is just a gone by pagan. And it's also mentioned in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 10, verse 10. Now, that's the three books and how could Dagon be in the times of the Hebrews when he came completely before the time of the Hebrews? Considering Dagon is a mythical god, he too is based off of the paganism of the strange gods that surrounded the little nation of Israel as they were enclosed around about with all these pagan gods. Well, today, although you live in America, you are surrounded by pagan gods. Now, we give you the chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 5 and 6 to tell you that the scriptures tells you that there's many gods and many lords. Now, God is not a creator or a father, and neither is Lord. Both of these are pagan. If you spell God backwards, you get dog. It's an insult in Hebrew. And if you spell Lord backwards, you get droll, which is a root word from the Irish word troll, and you know about a troll. It's a lurking demon in the underworld. And so it looks like that somebody has turned these words into English and placed them there deliberately to insult your intelligence. And believe it or not, my intelligence was insulted for 30 years before I realized that I was preaching these names of pagan titles. Now, how could there be any more than one creator? Now, we don't have a God. I'm just going to tell you that we don't have I don't have a God. I'll have no other gods before me, is what the Creator said. And he identified himself as a father. Now, he's the father of Jacob Israel. He's the father of our faith. And so, he's not a god to be idly worshipped as a creature. And yet, Christianity has turned this pagan god that they worship. We'll tell you in part three who that pagan god is. You're gonna get mad at me, and you're gonna be amazed that I would even have enough confidence, and you're gonna say I'm blaspheming when I use this pagan name and use the Hebrew to identify this pagan name and show you how the Greeks skillfully, very skillfully, as I told you in part two, Monday night, how that they skillfully put in this pagan name and got you used to it by identifying this pagan god as Zeus. Really, it's a marvel of how that they have structured the wording and the way it's evolved down to us into paganism. And yet today, Christians go to the altar, and they bow their knee to this pagan god, and they call on him religiously, and it seems that they're blessed. But did you know in Acts 4 and 12, it definitely states that there is no other name given whereby that we must be saved? Now, this is the salvation name. Now, if you go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 10 and 11, and it identifies the Savior and His promise. And if you go to the 46th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it tells you that He doesn't know any other God. If you go to 48th chapter, it tells you He doesn't know any other God. You go to many scriptures, it tells you He don't know any other God. In Isaiah 9 and 6, it tells us in a prophetic wording that unto us a son is born. Isaiah 9 and 6. A son is born. And it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now everybody thinks a son as being an offspring, and so he must have a father. Well, when the son came talking about his father, the Pharisees and the scribes and the learned of that day, they just couldn't believe it. He was the Messiah. They expected one to come. And the Bible said he came, but they didn't know him. Now, it says in the Greek, the word word, W-R-D, is not in the Greek language. That when people use the English equivalent to logos, they're changing the form of the word logos into word. And it's a continuation of a subtle deception, because I said when you come from the very root word of the scriptures, and if you went back to the Hebrew, it would be entirely different. And if you go back to the Hebrew, you get in the beginning was Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, the Hebrews will confirm that. And 1 and 8, it said, and unto the Son, he said, verse 8, Hebrews 1 and 8, unto the Son, he said, therefore thou throne, O God, is forever and ever. And in Colossians 1, 15 through 16, it says that he was before the world, and by him were all things created, as it states in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Logos, or in the beginning was Yahweh. That's what it says in the original Hebrew. But people don't want to go to the original Hebrews. They want to get to these very deceptive words in languages so that they can argue that his name was changed and he's no longer Yahweh. He's some other. He's some other something. This is all paganism, and it's ignorant and foolishness, and it's unlearned by those who have been swayed by the language devaluation, and they're not wise by sticking to the original word. If you want to get to the original, go to the original language. And you say, well, I don't understand Hebrew, glory to God. I know some people that can speak it still don't understand what it means. They have an entirely Christian concept of the last days. That there's going to be a temple built and it's going to be God's people that build it. Well, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. The temple that stood when Christ walked the earth, the Messiah, in Hebrew, it was not built. You know, this is amazing. It was not built by Yahweh's men. It wasn't built by true Israelites. Everybody says, oh, the Jews built that temple. That's a lie. And again, they tell you, oh, the Jews are going to build another temple. That's a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jews are just 1/13 of the equation here. And they're so small-minded and so perverted with Christianity, they try to say that Christianity is wrong, but then they adopt the philosophy and the doctrine of Christianity to prove their points, and that's all wrong. Where are we going to draw the line, and when are we going to come on board with the actual revelation of the truth, and when are we going to quit identifying out of one side of our mouth the word of Yahweh and then change it over into customs and traditions of Christianity that's got this lopsided doctrine that somehow in the last days that the Jews are going to come back and build a temple. When the Bible says that you are the temple, Yahweh does not. Now I'm going to tell you this emphatically, that this is what the word says. Yahweh does not dwell in temples made by hand with these pagan gods or pagan understanding. You may not believe in a pagan god, but if you've got a pagan understanding, you just might as well have a pagan god, because your understanding is void of truth, and it takes the truth to make you free and set you out and make you set apart. For you've got half of your leg in the truth, just because you're in the sacred name, then you've got the other half of your body over into compromise or to console the world with some kind of a false doctrine. that in the last days that the Jews are going to build the temple. Now, I want to remind you again that Revelations 2 and 9 says that there are people that say they're Jews, and these are the very people that's going to build the temple. There's going to be one attempted to be built. And according to Paul, their God, their pagan God, their pagan God, and I'm going to tell you in part 3 who that pagan God is going to declare that he is, and here goes the Christians. Here goes them sacred name people that follow after this garbage. They'll be right over on a fast boat to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is not a holy city. I don't care what you say it is. It wasn't a holy temple that Christ said he would tear it down. And the Bible says that Yahweh does not, the Messiah does not dwell in a temple made by hands. Now, you say, well, that's for Christians. But the day comes, he's going to set in a temple, and the Jews are going to come up and stroke his beard. Oh, yes? The last time he met those lying demons, they pulled his beard out. The last time he met them, they gave him a cat of nine tail and ripped the flesh off of his back, till you could see his back rib cage. They pierced his head with thorns. But you say, well, all of a sudden they're going to get religion and salvation, and they've done it ignorant. You know, ladies, even the Greek disputes in Luke chapter 23, verse 31, the original Greek says they knew what they were doing. And then we've got these people that say, well, God said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. That's the English version. The Greek version says, forgive them not, for they know what they do. And then everybody jumps in and says, oh, that's, see the Greek, this word's here. We got these so-called Greek experts. Ladies and gentlemen, the proof is that they knew what he was doing. It was prophesied that they would do it. And that they themselves would say, let's kill him, because this is the heir of the world. This is the one that the world was made for and by and through, as it's recorded in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. This is the name that they rejected. They didn't want him to be their creator. And I've got a feeling, ladies and gentlemen, that the ones that the very one that comes to that temple of that. Now, if they build a temple, and the old adage is, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be the path to your door. Well, we've got the Vatican now, and the world right now, all of the religious people of the world beat a path or have a diplomat to be represented in the Vatican world. Although the Protestants were against that, you see a movement now to reconcile their differences and bind Christianity into one group, and you've got to have a 401(c) stamp account through the government to be recognized as a legal body that you can worship a creator. Now, I want to ask you a question. Would you want a legal stamp of the United States government to say that you have a right to worship your creator? Well, ladies and gentlemen, everybody that gathers offerings, that preaches for money and tithing, you've got to have a 501(c) exemption to be recognized as a viable, a church-related, sponsored by the government and recognized so. And now, when they get a temple over there, who you think's going to sit in it? Well, we got these sacred name preachers, and here's what they'll say. Well, that's Yahweh. He's going to go over there, and they're going to receive him then. Then the Christians will be raptured out. Glory to God, Shundai. And then Yahweh's going to save all the Jews on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that the gospel went out to the house of Israel? And that the house of Yehuda was 1/13 of that equation? And you're telling me that 12 of them could be lost if they don't accept Christ, and that Yahweh chose the Jews specifically to be exempted from that, and they can go ahead and curse him and pull his hair out and beard and beat him on the back and talk evil of him and tell us in their Talmud that he should have been boiled in oil or semen, and that he married a Hebrew whore? At least they knew who she was. She was a Hebrew, but she wasn't a whore. She had never known a man when Yahweh himself overshadowed her. Now, you can make anything out of that you want to, but the Bible said Yahweh overshadowed her. And she conceived. And she had a son, and this son, according to Isaiah 9 and 6, where I quoted you, unto us a son is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. It's built upon his shoulders, not upon some rock over in Jerusalem. Because Yahweh ain't going to dwell in no temple anymore. He dwells in you. He dwells in the 13 tribes of Israel right at this moment, if they will have him. And the gospel is preached to them, and the gospel is preached to only them, and to them that obey his word shall be saved, and they that reject it will be turned into hell. Paul said, seeing that you reject the word of salvation, then your house is left to you desolate. And everybody says, well, see, it was designed that way, so that one day God can come back and save the Jews. And then, therefore, we could get the Gentiles in, and then we could get the Jews in. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not going to be any Gentiles in the kingdom. You say, oh, my heavens above. The Bible describes Gentiles as heathen. The same type of heathen that had these pagan gods. Just as I read you in the book of Acts, chapter 14, that they still believed that Paul and Barnabas here that were preaching there in the province there, in Rome, the Roman province, they thought that they were the god of Zeus, or the priest of Zeus. And they were going to offer offerings. They were going to kill the calf and make a big meal and celebrate their arrival on this particular area run and operated through Rome. And Rome, their principal god was Zeus. Ladies and gentlemen, if you read this first and second book of Maccabees, and you could read it if you go back to the original King James, but people use the revised and version of the King James, where they took out all of these valuable books so that you would know the history of why that the temple was destroyed in the first place, never to be rebuilt, because it wasn't Yahweh's temple to start with. It belonged to the Edomite Herod. He was the one that built that temple. And you say, well, Yahweh sanctioned it, glory to God. Yahweh doesn't work in evil. It was a den of thieves, according to Yahweh. And he seemed fit to have it tore down, and it will never be restored. You now, the 13 tribes, and I ain't excluding the Jews, I'm including those who are from the house of Yehuda, who is known in the bastardization English word as Judah. Therefore, we have a condensed, shortened version of Jews. Not everything that come out of Judah's loins was of Yahweh. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I wouldn't speak evil against them. You don't have no understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, the understanding is void when I hear these false prophets knocking their knees together and bumping their gums without any spiritual understanding of what's going on about the whole matter. And this is the matter. And this is the sum of the matter, that they are those that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the serpent race of Cain through the blood of Judah. They won't tell you about that, but I will. And I'll prove it if you want to go to the book of Genesis chapter 38, and if you want to go to the book of Genesis chapter 46, you'll see an offspring that got into the house of Israel through there. And if you want to go to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, they came out of Egypt after 400 years of miscegenation, and now there's a large portion of them that claim to be Jews and are not, because Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. He didn't deny that. He knew that they called themselves Jews, and he didn't deny that they were from the bloodline of Abraham. And yet there was several bloodlines from Abraham. But ladies and gentlemen, not everything in Abraham was accepted. Esau was rejected. He was from Abraham and Abraham's seed. He was the son, or the supposed son, of Isaac, and as along with Jacob. But Jacob was chosen, and Esau was rejected because he married into the Canaanite family. Well, Judah married into the Canaanite family. Has anybody ever told you that? Well, them Jews are God's chosen people. Now, you better not speak nothing against them, glory to God, because in the last days, you're going to see some miracles. Yeah, you're going to see some miracles, all right, and I'd like to tell you what they are. Since these false prophets won't, I'll tell you what they are. And Paul said exactly what they would do. He said that they would, in the last days now, remember, there ain't been no temple since 70 A.D. It was all torn down. And he said the last days that Satan himself, the man of evil, the man of sin, he's going to be revealed. He ain't going to be Yahweh sitting in that temple, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be the devil himself. So if anybody builds a temple, it ain't going to be for Yahweh. It's going to be for the devil. And these lying people that say they're Jews, that Christ identified in Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9 and John 8:37-34 that I'm quoting from now, Yahweh said, I know you're Abraham's children, but you seek to kill me. They sought to kill him. They premeditated to kill him. And then we get these people say, well, they didn't know what they was doing. And God forgive them. God loves everybody. You know, there's good people in all churches. Glory to God. Shundai. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we labor for? What do we preach for? If there's good people in every church, then I should have stayed in the church I had to come out of. The Bible demands that you come out of this pagan doctrine, this Easter egg, Easter bunny, this line, this miscegenating with other races and worshiping with them, lifting up your hands like you're holy, shaking like you've got the Holy Ghost, and I know better, and you do too. You say, well, that's a move of God. Don't speak against the move of God. I speak against everything that ain't true. I ain't ever false way, and you should too. And if you got any backbone, you ought to stand up for what Yahweh said and let the rest of the world go to hell. Where that's exactly where they're going. That's where Dagon, you know, when Yahweh and his ark came into the temple down there in the Philistines' temple, and they parked the ark. You know, they wanted to brag about this weak God over there in Israel, Yahweh, and the Philistines mocked the ark. They said, this is the relic where Yahweh's supposed to dwell. That's what the Hebrews say. It wasn't the Jews said that. Everybody's got a myth. They even thinking Abraham was a Jew. That's a lie of the devil. Well, better than that, they thinking Jacob was a Jew. Well, you never hear them say that Esau was a Jew. But if Jacob was a Jew, then I suppose that Esau was a Jew. But see, they don't want to get into the bad. They just want to pick out the little parts. And then when you get on their case, they say, oh, the good seed came out of Judah. Yes, that's right, Pastor Buddy. You got the truth. We'll have to admit that. That, yeah, there was a bad seed of Cain came through the house of Judah. But, you know, God fixed that up, and then he brought the birthright son out of the book, out of the bowels of Judah through Tamar, the Israelite woman, and out came Phares and Zaras, twins, and he chose them two. Oh, really? Now, wait a minute. Did he violate his own law? Didn't Judah hide Sheila? What went with that guy? That's what they won't tell you. And you're supposed to be having to preach it to you. Because I've flipped the page and studied some of the Word, and I know what you can read and what you can't read. I don't have to guess, stutter, mutter, putter, or stutter. I know where it come from. If it's not out of the truth and the heart speaks truth, and these paganistic ways, even these deceived spirits that are still mixing paganism of Christianity thought and process, because most of Christianity is as pagan as it can get. Even worshiping the name of a pagan god. Change the name of the Creator. And change the source of the Creator. Created them an image. And created them a creature. Like a Christianity recognizes three gods. Well, have you ever seen a three-headed god? Well, if you go to the Hindu gods, they got seven heads. But Christianity, they just half as bad. They create a three-headed god, and most of these people that believe in three gods are as ignorant and dumb as a slop bucket because they don't understand the concept of oneness when the Bible said there's one Yahweh, one El, and that's Him, and He is a father to a people, and that's the 13 tribes of the house of Israel, and He's not a father to anyone else. He didn't jump the fence. He didn't go out into the world and choose the Gentiles. That word Gentile is synonymous with the house of Israel. It was the Israelites who loved the Gentiles, loved the heathen practices, loved the pagan gods. And so Yahweh gave them up to reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned and sent them a packing. But then when He came, He sent a message of reconciliation out to those of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, read James chapter 1 verse 1. Does it say to the Jews scattered abroad, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save the Gentiles, and then I'm going to save the Jews? No, don't say that. It says to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Well, 12 includes Judah. 12 includes the Jews scattered. You say, well, yeah, but in the last days it says the Jews will go back. It don't say that. Nowhere does it say that. But that's what they think it says because that's what they've heard all their life, and even sacred name people fall into that trap and believe that nonsense. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10, He said they will never come back. Now, Yahweh is looking for the house of Israel, the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the heathen or among the Gentiles. He didn't promise He's going to save the Gentiles. And matter of fact, let me give you the scripture. Here again, as we talk about pagan gods, we're talking about the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 5 and 6. Go not. Now here's Yahweh fixing to send, and everybody says, all of the disciples was Jews. Glory to God. Well, why did all the Jews hate them? Why did they say these men are not Jews, but they're Galileans? Every one of them on the day of Pentecost was Galileans. Not one Jew in the crowd. Now, the very Jew that the Messiah chose was out of the house of Judas, or Judah, the Canaanite, according to the scriptures. And I've got a message on how that this Jew, who claimed to be a true blue out of the house of Zara, because we got two houses here. We got the house of Sheba, which made the Shelites, according to 1 Chronicles 2:55, that they were the scribes and the Pharisees. No wonder that the Messiah warned you about them. Well, I still have to encounter them. We've got these, you know, they look very pious, and they got big long beards, and, you know, and they're white, and they look sainty, and they run around, and they'll flip their bibs and chew their cud, chew on a toothpick as they kick their teeth, and void of understanding when they try to tell you. That, well, now see, Pastor Buddy, in the last days, now we can worship with anybody we want to because God loves everybody. Well, that ain't what the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 7. That ain't what the Bible says over here in the book of Ezra chapter 9. That ain't what the Bible says over here in the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. And I could go on all night about that. How that Yahweh forbade the house of Israel from mixing and mingling, and he wanted you to come out of that, even when he sent you among the heathen, the Gentiles, who he ain't going to save, not one Gentile. The promise is only to the house of Israel. The Bible is written to, for, and about the 12 tribes of the house of Israel, and now we've got 13 with the addition of the two sons of Joseph who were adopted into the mix. With Joseph being the birthright son, and everybody says the birthright belongs to Judah. Well, Judah's first son, and the birthright should have belonged to him, and they won't mention this. See, they hide it. They sweep it under the rug. And when I come into the church house, they sit very quiet. They get awful nervous. They start walking around and looking up and praying. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Deliver us from this evil. There's an evil man here. Lord, oh, God, help me. Lord, he's in witchcraft, and he's all this. I've heard that crap by these false blaring prophets that lie and cheat and steal and try to steal your soul and deceive your mind and corrupt your understanding, that I have to rebuke it in the name of Yahweh against everything that exalts itself in the knowledge that exalts from the lower world of hell, which will turn everybody into hell that forgets Yahweh's word. And when you start standing from the word and asking, come back to the old path and walk into it, they'll say, no, I'll tell you what, now today it's a different story. We see now Jesus loves everybody. Well, even the sacred name people don't use Jesus, and a lot of them don't even know what to use. Some of them use Yahshua, and some of them Yeshua, and some of them Husua, and some of them Ayasha, and all that crap. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that his name alone has got salvation, and his name is Yahweh from the foundation of the world? He was the creator in the Hebrew, to the Hebrew people. See, the Bible is not an English Bible to the Gentile world. Although it was given to the Gentiles reluctantly by the Latin Catholic Church, who I told you was the most corruptible whore that sits in the temple of Rome, which eventually, according to the scripture, will be destroyed with an earthquake. And now, then, guess what? Let's all go to Jerusalem and build us a big temple over there, and we'll be, you know, the Jews and the Christians, and we'll all get together, and we'll have a one world religion. Yeah, that's what's coming up. Yeah, they're going to build a temple. Ladies and gentlemen, they're smacking the Pope's ring. They're kissing it until they have to change ring, because they wear the gold out, as they literally suck the gold off the ring of the Pope. They kiss his feet. And he has to wear protective clothing over his feet to keep him from blistering with all the saliva and all the blood related saliva lips that touch his feet. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that they have to guard the Pope because he might get a blood related disease? And they literally kiss the hide off of his feet. What do you think they're going to do to this false prophet that is going to be, the Bible said, that he will come in to the temple, set in the temple as God himself? What do you think they're going to do to that cat? They're going to worship him, and they're going to bow the knee to him. Whosoever was not found written in the word of Yahweh is going to bow the knee. I don't care who you are, you're not exempt. Be you Jew, be you Gentile, be you this or be you that, and then some of the faith, some of those of the house of Israel will go over there and give way to that garbage. Oh, Christ is over in Jerusalem. Now you're going to go over there? Well, we've got a Christian fellowship up, and oh, they're going to be loading on planes and trains, and they're going to get over there as fast as they can. They're going to depart. The point of departure will be from all points around the world, and the Bible said everything in the world whose names are not written in the kingdom. And you'll know somebody's name that ain't written because they preach like I do. They're not afraid to tell you. They got the backbone to tell you that all of this stuff that they're approving of and trying to justify, oh, now, don't tell me you ain't going to build a temple over. It's going to be, well, of course it's going to be built. Nobody didn't say it was or wasn't. It's going to be built. It will be built in troublesome times. Just like, and of course, it's going to be parallel prophecy, just like it was when Ezra and Nehemiah. Go back and read those two books. These are the guys that built the original temple. These are the guys that restored the temple that was of original. But the ones that Herod built was not that temple. And read about Ezra and Nehemiah. Take you a lesson in history. And then follow their advice. I can go to these miscegenated churches and stand up and read out of the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, and they'll say, well, we know that they were somebody, the Holy Ghost said to me, glory to God. And I have them, boy, they'll start prophesying. These silly women will jump up. I had seven women one time jump up and got me by the coattail and pinch me and everything else, trying to get me to sit down. And them seven women today, every one of them's laying beneath the sod, and I'm still preaching Yahweh. You know why? Because they got up and blasphemed the truth of Yahweh when I read to them point blank out of the scriptures and preached the message that they all rejected. They were seven women that encircled me and put hands on me and prophesied I was going to die. Well, I know I'm going to die. I accepted that and didn't come against that. But the very prophecy that they laid upon me happened to them. And they all seven right now, and I could give you names and verify and show you where most of their tombstones is at, they're all dead. Not because I'm such a righteous man, but because they came against the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, when you stand against a man of Yahweh that's anointed with the word of Yahweh, and when they come in and preach the word, you better be like a church mouse. You better be quiet. You better be slow to speak and quick to hear, and you better slip out somewhere and go on a big long fast and get your body to receive the word and accept and say, Yahweh, help me to understand your word and help me to know the truth when I hear it, because I know that the written word is always written and it'll always stand. You know why? Because Yahweh used it and Yahweh tested the devil, and the word never fails. But where there's prophecies, they will fail. By these lying scumbags that call themselves prophets, they are prophets of gain, prophets of admiration of some little sect that calls themselves the holy people of God, and they buy into that and bite into that poison biscuit, and they die for the lack of understanding, and they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And the Bible says, whosoever rejects this knowledge will be turned into hell with all nations that forget Yahweh. You better know that when you read the book of Ezra chapter 9, that old prophet up there that actually literally pulled his beard out, he reached up and he got great chunks of his beard and he jerked it out. You know why? Because he saw the house of Israel. He saw them in miscegenation mode. He saw them worshiping and bringing in strangers into the house of Yahweh. They were trying to get it ready. And these Levite priests, these people that claim to be priests that approve of it, are first rewarded, because it would be better for them to not know the way than to know it and not obey it. Yahweh's man, Ezra, pulled his beard out when he was told that even the Levite priests were bringing strange women and marrying them and having strange adulterated children in the assembly. And ladies and gentlemen, it's today the greatest sin in the world against Yahweh. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you're an Israelite man, you cannot commit adultery by going out and getting you another woman and having another child. You can have as many as you want, as many as you can legally keep, according to the scriptures. And I could give you reference after reference of prophets and preachers and teachers that did did so and are still doing so and have the Bible to justify them, but the very minute, and I don't care if they got 700 wives or like Solomon, the very minute that Solomon crossed the line and went over and got him a strange woman in 1 Kings chapter 11, you read it and you weep all the way to the altar, ladies and gentlemen, because that sin was perversion and adultery, and as soon as Solomon did it, Yahweh said, I will honor my promise to you, you hypocrite, you lying tongue, you deceiving man that set this example for my children here in this country. Yahweh said, because I promised your father David, who was loyal to me and a man after my own heart that never did miscegenate, never did commit adultery. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know? Oh, you say, oh, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. No, he did not. Bathsheba was an Israelite woman married to a stranger. And when this stranger was killed in the battle, David took her for his wife, and Yahweh sanctioned that marriage, ladies and gentlemen, after he cleansed her womb. He killed the first child. That was to give her womb sanctification because he knew that David was in love with her. And the second son was Solomon. And then after Solomon, Nathan was born, ladies and gentlemen. And Yahweh came through the bloodline of Nathan according to Luke 3:31. And you better read your Bible. And he chastised the prophet called Solomon, because he had done a vile thing according to 1 Kings chapter 11. You read that scripture. You read Ezra chapter 9, and you tell me that it's all right for you to miscegenate and mix with all these people and condone it and worship with it and lift up your hands and call yourself holy. You're fooling nobody but yourself, and you ain't going to no place other than where you're destined to go, into hell with all people that forget Yahweh's laws and commandments and want to miscegenate and to break the commandments and teach this loving pact that Yahweh loves all the world. And that's a lie, because if he did, he commanded you not to love it. And if he turns around and loves it, he broke his own commandment. And Yahweh's never broke his commandment. He's never changed his plan. And today, if he calls something unclean, it's still unclean. And no miracle of man or no unbelief of man will change the fact. And I don't care if the whole world goes against Yahweh's plan, Yahweh is still right, because he did not choose you because you were the most people. He chose you because you were the fewest people upon the earth to love him and to keep his commandments. And yes, there will be a temple built, and yes, there will be pagans worship there, and yes, the pagans will come in droves, and all of them who have not the truth of Yahweh in their heart. Again, read the book of Nehemiah. Did you know that they literally cursed people for doing what these people today are doing? And they expect you to love them. They expect you to condone it. When you go to the church and you curse them, they'll say, oh man, I know he's got the devil, but did you hear him cuss? Ladies and gentlemen, you want to hear a high priest curse? Go to the book of Ezra chapter 9. You want to hear one curse? Go over to Nehemiah chapter 13, and I could give you some more. You might want to start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And like I say, all of these chapters that I could give you, and I could preach on this for 6 months, and the half wouldn't be told about Yahweh's plan and Yahweh's commitment and Yahweh's warning to them that break his laws and will not keep his commandment. But then out of their mouth, they send forth this salt water and the sweet water at the same time and say that they love Yahweh and that they're keeping his commandment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is already come and gone. And I praise Yahweh. I want you to know that Yahweh's word is forever settled in heaven. And Yahweh's truth is still settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it. Now, again, I want to read you a verse of scripture. Because I've had people tell me, well, buddy, how do you know that that Yahweh is white? Well, Revelations 1:14 tells you so. The book of Isaiah talks about Yahweh having a white hair. Well, anybody can have white hair, irregardless of the color, because age will get that. Well, the Ancient of Ages does have a beautiful head of white hair. I've seen it. It is a beautiful head of white hair, and believe me, it is beautiful. beautifully white. But it also says something in 1:14 that most people just look over. They can't get this. They just dance right over it. And that is that his head was white. Now, if his head was white, who do you know that's got a white head that don't have a white face attached to it? Now, when I say white, I'm talking about blushing red. Jacob was a blushing red. David was blushing red. The Messiah, the Bible said, was a blushing red. And the Caucasian race that came out of the land of Israel, we know exactly where they came from. These are the people of Jacob. So Jacob's progeny were all blushing white people called Caucasian. You say, well, is everybody else going to hell, Pastor Buddy? I do not know what Yahweh's got prepared for those type of people that are not in the family of Yahweh. I just know what Yahweh's word said. To you, who are the fewest people, the little family of Jacob Israel, have I chosen that you may know. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and a few there be defined. See, ladies and gentlemen, all this worldwide religious Christianity stuff, they can pass land and sea. You know what the Bible says about that? It says that they will make them 2-4 more the child of hell than they were to begin with. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's for sure that Yahweh is a strong tower. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we want to be very prompt, and we want to come on the air just when we're supposed to, because we've got a lot of microwave rebroadcasting stations that carry Pastor Buddy around the world. And they're on a time schedule. When the time comes, they want to get us in there. If not, they're going to have nothing but dead air, because they only carry me exclusively on the radio programs, and I have been told that they carry my program here live off of WWRB, especially since we got streaming ability here on the World Wide Web at WWRB. So we want to be very punctual and get on tonight. We were about a few minutes late, but we want to get on time so there will be no dead air. Now, here's and mostly what you hear preached is dead. Twice dead, plucked up with the roots. It's deader than last year's bird's nest. It's something out of the 24th chapter of these people's imagination, and they won't preach the Bible. I just wish that they'd get in the Bible, or they'd get in a debate, and we could have this out on, you know, I could give my time, and these other false prophets, they could give their time, and we could all come together, and we could have a preacher's debate. Because, you see, these preachers got the itch, but they want to keep their own little congregation, and they keep them shielded away from my message. I've had them tell people, don't come because Pastor Buddy's supposed to show up at our church. Don't come, you don't want to hear him. You know why? Because when Pastor Buddy gets up, and I open my Bible, and I offer any man $5,000 any time that I can't read what I'm talking, you know, I've been called on the carpet by these false prophets that say I'm preaching witchcraft. But it didn't deter me. I preach it just the same. My doctrine is the same. And it's right out of the Word of Yahweh, and I use exclusively the King James Bible. I don't use no sacred name Bible, although I do not use Lord and God. I do not use that, except when I'm trying to get people to understand what I'm trying to say. So you see, we got a dilemma here, ladies and gentlemen. They won't come out of their little old huts, and they run when the truth, and the snake or the harlan, they flee when the man of Yahweh gets in town. You know why? Because they'll see that you're called by the name of Yahweh. And when you call on Yahweh's name, if you love him, he'll back you up. Hey, some of these sacred name people use the name Yahweh. He don't even listen to them because they're wishy-washy. They're deader than last year's bird's nest. Well, I got to get off here, ladies and gentlemen. My time is just about coming up. So, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, you can write me tonight at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, it's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here, and I'm right here ready to take your call. Now, if the phone lights, sometimes it floods up and I can't get them off, but just leave me a message. I'll call you back on my nickel. ladies and gentlemen. That's area code 423-626-2172. We're going to be in meeting next month in the second Passover, and we've taught on that, and we could teach you some more on it. But we'll be in meeting the second Passover next month. That's May the 8th, beginning in Murphy, North Carolina. Call for information on our meeting beginning on the 8th of May if you'd like to keep the Passover. Well, I got to get off here, ladies and gentlemen. The old clock on the wall has caught me, and I've got to mosey on off here. But I love you, and I appreciate you. And don't you know that Yahweh indeed is a strong tower? And you know that the Bible says that the righteous run into that and that they are very safe. Well, I know that they're safe because when you get in the name of Yahweh and you won't compromise with His truth and you won't bow down to some of this silly, ignorant stuff that you hear and you remain pure and you remain true, you can go high on a mountain. I love you. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30. Yahweh bless you right here on WWRB 3.185. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you.